Now, before I start this message, I want to give you a little disclaimer. You know, sometimes when you, just the fact that someone's up here speaking, preaching, it can seem like we have, because we're presenting something, that we have the answers, that this is working perfectly for me. I guess what I want to say is that what I'm going to present today, it's something that I want in my life, but I haven't yet accomplished it. It's something I dream of. It's something that I want to achieve in my personal relationship with God, but I'm not there yet. So, several years ago, probably 10 years ago, there was a group of lawyers that referred to themselves as the Dream Team. It was the O.J. Simpson trial, and of course, now that you think about it, they must have been a dream team proclaim him innocent or whatever, at least of that initial charge there. But that's what they looked at themselves as, the Dream Team. It was one of those lawyers, Johnny Cochran. He passed away later on, and someone sent me an email of his tombstone. It was very funny. It said Johnny Cochran, and below it said, "He did it." of course, everybody knew that anyway, that O.J. Did it. But the Dream Team, I want to talk about a different dream team that I'm dreaming of here. It's found in John 14 and verse 23. John 14 and verse 23. It says, "Jesus answered and said to him, 'If a man will love me, he will keep my words.'" Now here we go. "If a man loves me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him." Now notice this next point. "And we will come," notice, "we will come and make our abode with him." Now this is the dream team that I'm talking about right here. First of all, you have the Father, you have the Son who died for you, and you have the power, referred to as the Holy Spirit, that those two beings have. And we're going to come and abide inside of you. We're going to dwell. We're going to make our residence inside of you, your body, the temple of God. I mean, you think about having this source of power inside of you. I mean, consider it again. "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." I mean, what is that like? What should we expect from such? I mean, is it even possible? What would it be like to achieve this, to know this, to be aware of this, to have the source of all power dwelling inside of you, the power that created the universe, the power that created everything around you that you see? I mean, are we overlooking something here of what Jesus is saying here? This kind of source, I look at it as a nucleus of power. I have a phone, a Droid phone, and when I fire it up, it's got this weird ball of fire in the middle of it, and it starts to make all this racket, and that orange thing starts to, it's like a nucleus of power of lightning bolts shooting out of it. And so I'm a very visual person, and I imagine that kind of nucleus, that power, according to this, being inside of you. If I visualize, what is it like to have the Father, the Son, and the power that they have, the Holy Spirit, what would that be like having that inside of you? Well, I visualize this nucleus of power being on the inside. The power that created the universe is what we're talking about, being on the inside of you. And again, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." You know, as I look at this, I think, have we ever even come close to this? Really, when you think about it. There was a woman, I'm not going to turn there, but she had an idea of what this might be like, coming into contact, at least with this kind of power. And she said to herself, and Greg mentioned this, "If I may just touch the hem of his garment, I will be, made whole." I mean, what was going through her mind when she said that? I mean, she was thinking, okay, if just an article of clothing, that this man is wearing, that the master is wearing. And if I can just come close enough to touch it, I'm going to be made whole. I mean, what kind of power is this? What was she thinking of? You know, such a source, to come into contact with such a source of power that it completely heals you just by touching the hem of his garment. Now, we know the promise of Pentecost. You know, Jesus told his disciples, he said, tarry here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Now, is it just a one-time thing? Is it just something that happened long ago? Is it something that we should expect today? I looked up that word endued with power. In the sense, it says the meaning of is in the sense of sinking into a garment. And you're putting on, you know, you're putting on Christ. You're putting on the Father. You're putting on the whole. It's a part of you that you carry with you. And again, I come to this verse that says the Father, Jesus said, the Father will love him and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We'll take up residence inside of you. If we could achieve this, and I don't think it's something out of our reach. I'll talk more at the end about if a man love me, he will keep my words, and maybe what prevents us from having this source, this nucleus of power within us. But let's consider, I want to turn to several scriptures here, and let's consider some stories here. First of all, let's ask, well, what kind of effect would it have on others, let's say, this kind of power, as we come into contact with people? Well, let's pick up a story here in Acts 3 and verse 1. I love this, all these stories I really enjoy here. It says, now Peter, Acts 3 and verse 1, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now here's a beggar, you know, asking for money. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them, money that is. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Now think about what he's saying here. You know, he's saying, first of all, I don't have any money. And maybe Greg could relate to that one. And silver and gold I have none, but such as I have, what I have on the inside, I'm going to give to you. What did he have? What did Peter have? Well, he had an abiding, a dwelling, Christ, the Father, and the Son dwelling inside of him. He said, look, such as I have, I'm going to give to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And I wonder sometimes why people are not healed. You know, I've anointed a lot of people, and sometimes it seems to work, and people say, yes, that worked for me. But I sometimes wonder why others are not healed. And maybe there's always a reason. But again, I think of this kind of power on the inside. Now, if this were a reality in our lives, and something that I want, something that I think we should work toward, what kind of mind would you have? What kind of knowledge would you have? You know, the Bible says we have the mind of Christ. What does that mean? You know, think about that. The mind of Christ. Man, that's some powerful stuff there. You have the mind of Christ? What problem could not be solved with this kind of abiding, we will come and make our abode on the inside. What problem? Have you ever said, well, I don't know what the answer to that problem is. I don't know what the solution is. You know, from Jesus' perspective, if you have this kind of abiding on the inside, it was like, well, that's not a problem. That's nothing. We can solve this. We can fix this. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Let's turn to that passage. Ephesians 3 and verse 16. Boy, this is a powerful verse. You consider what is being said here, Ephesians 3 and verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Man. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask, and notice this, or think, according to the power that works in us. My question, are we missing something? Are we missing something? What might that something be that we're missing? You know, I remember hearing a story about, talking about problem solving and things that we come up against, and when we think there's no answers. And what's the solution to this that I'm going through? And we forget who we have on the inside. We forget that Christ says, look, if a man will keep my word and keep my sayings, we will come and make our abode inside of you. The power of the universe. It was Earl Nightingale talking about one time the intuitive mind. About, it was a guy working with a knotty problem, and I don't know if it was mechanical or what, but he just couldn't figure out something, how to solve this issue. It's something that he was trying to fix. And said, and talking about the power of the intuitive mind, he said, in the middle of the night, said this almost like this 3D image of this thing came over and hovered over and spun and turned and turned. And it was like the solution, he was seeing how it could work out in his mind's eye. And thought, that's it. That's the way I can do this. That's the way I can fix this. And again, you know, we can talk about that concept, the power of our minds and problem solving. But when you put that together with the fact that Christ says we're going to make our abode, we're going to dwell in the power, the Father, the Holy Spirit, and Christ Jesus. We're going to be living inside of you. There is nothing we shouldn't think that we can't, no problem we can't solve. I don't care what you're up against. If you depend on that, if you have that in your mind's eye, it's not just me trying to figure out my solutions or my problems or whatever. It's God in me will help me. What would it be like to have this kind of power? I think this is something for everybody, not just for one person, you know, not just, but for the body of Christ. Because Christ says we're going to make our abode in Him, the Father and the Son and the Spirit. All right, there's a little story, Acts 6 and verse 8. I'm going to skip through this. Stephen. I'm going to skip along. Acts 6 and verse 8, I'll read this. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Think about that. Great faith and power, did great wonders and miracles. Verse 15. And all that sat in council, looking steadfast on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. You know, I don't know what's going on there, but it's sort of fascinating to consider that. They're looking at him as though, and they almost think, I'm looking at an angel here. Well, he gives his testimony, a powerful testimony about the history of the children of Israel and how they killed all the prophets. I'm not going to read all of that, but in Acts 7 and verse 55, it says, but he being full of the Holy Spirit looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Of course, they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and killed him, stoned him. But when I look at this and I think of that vision that he saw, I think Stephen probably had only to look within himself, to look within to see that vision. Why? Because that's where they had made their abode, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. He was living on the inside. In other words, it was a way of life. What I'm talking about is the real dream team that I would like to, you know, have on a regular daily basis of my life. What kind of discernment could you expect to have with this dream team living on the inside? What kind of discernment? You know, I've met people, I guess in church, that had discernment, and then I've met other people that couldn't discern, that they fall for all this chicanery, trickery, you know, everything that a person, they believe anything, you know. I made a comment on those YouTube videos. Someone commented back and said, oh, so you don't believe in global warming, and said something about all the polar ice caps have melted. And I thought, well, when did that happen? They all melted. You know, they're gone, I guess. You know, some people believe. They believe Al Gore invented the internet. They believe everything. They hear it, you know. They just hear it and they say, yeah, that's right. But I'm talking about what kind of discernment could you have, could you expect to have with the Father and the Son making their abode inside of you? Politics, religious deception, all of this. I mean, we could consider all the deception that is out there. Well, in Acts 8 and verse 12, let me read through this story here. Acts 8 and verse 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, they were baptized, both men and women. Then Simon, Acts 8 and verse 13, then Simon believed himself also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondering, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Now here was a man named Simon who, you got to ask, what does it take to be a Christian? Here was a man who believed. Here was a man who was baptized. All right, they just believe in Jesus. Well, Simon believed. Simon was baptized. Is he a Christian? Not so. Not so. Okay. 8 and verse 14. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto him Peter and John, who when they were come down prayed for them for that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet it had not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now this is a fascinating scripture because it tells us here are people who were baptized and yet they had not yet received the Spirit of God. Why? Well, because they didn't have hands laid on them yet. How important is that subject, the laying on of hands? Well, it must be pretty important. Verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy... Acts 8 and verse 17, then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, that the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay my hands, he may receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Simon was the first television evangelist right here. He was really gung-ho about this. Verse 20, but Peter said unto him, now I ask what kind of discernment would you have? All right, this is a religious person. All right, Simon. But Peter said unto him, your money perishes with you. Because you thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money, you have neither part nor lot in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Man, that's discernment right there. Repent therefore of this wickedness, and pray God, if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven thee, for I perceive that you are in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Man, that's powerful words. I ask, what kind of discernment would you have? Now, I believe that we have discernment more than we care to admit. We're just afraid to use it because we don't quite trust it. You know, you ever met a person and maybe you don't even know the person. You meet a person for the first time and you think, I'm not comfortable with that person. That person just rubs me the wrong way. I am not at ease. Well, what is that? It's not just your own critical hostility. I mean, you don't even know the person. I think that's discernment when you have that. You should listen to it. Okay. I want to conclude with, again, this verse. John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said to him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Another point I want to mention here is, you know, when you suffer, God suffers. If this is true, if they're on the inside... So whatever you're going through, whatever you're suffering through, they suffer also. The Bible talks about one part of the body suffers, the rest of it suffers, you know. They know what you're going through. They hurt for you. Just something to think about. What now? Let's conclude. What keeps us from having this kind of power relationship? Well, you know as much as I do what keeps us from experiencing this. When we do things that we know are wrong, basically is what keeps us from experiencing this, from having them abide in a more powerful way. When we do things that we know are wrong, we know we shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. I'm going to do it anyway. I mean, that's what, you know, it's not an open house. It's not an open house. It's not an open house where you invite everything that comes along into that house. It's not an open house. And I sometimes think that maybe Christ Jesus and the Father would say, look, I can't take this anymore. You've invited the trash into your house. I'm out of here. I'm leaving. Goodbye. And, you know, my prayer is that would be that God would forgive us, cleanse us, and that in a powerful way take up residence inside of each one of you. And that we would all experience what I would refer to as the real dream team, God living on the inside. Sometimes you think, well, I mean, I'm living a nightmare. I need this. To experience not just a mundane existence, but in a way, if I will, to experience supernatural living.